Sam the Cooking Guy, and you're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. Some call him a fool, some even call him a douchebag, but I say Greg Rempe is the greatest thing to happen to barbecue since caveman.
Start the game! Let's go!
We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live!
So to get that perfect barbecue, you use wood. Are you sure it's safe? Whatever. We put the lighter fluid on, strike your match, and... Oh.
Should we call the fire department?
That might be a good idea.
And welcome to the Really Big Barbecue Central Show. This is the show that talks about all things that are important to the world of barbecue and grilling. The show originating from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city, Bomb City, USA, Cleveland, Ohio, the barbecue capital of the North Coast. I'm your program host, Greg Rempe. Happy to have you aboard here on your Tuesday evening's Live Fire Fun and Frivolity Show. If you'd like to get in contact with the show this evening, or if you'd like to follow the show during off-show hours, here's how you do it.
You can get in touch with the show by sending an email to Greg at the BBQCentralShow.com. Follow us on all the social media channels at BBQCentralShow. And be sure to subscribe to the show podcast feed on your favorite podcast platform.
Anything else you want to find out about the show this evening can be found at the main website, TheBBQCentralShow.com. And here's what's happening tonight in case you didn't get the newsletter, which you can subscribe to at the main website, TheBBQCentralShow.com. Coming up in about 13 minutes from now, a barbecue icon, a writer of multiple barbecue and grilling cookbooks, the authority on the subject matter, as it were. He is now a three-time Hall of Famer across various halls of fame. I am, of course, talking about our pal and barbecue icon, Stephen Reichlin. Stephen taking part in the barbecue festival that was staged in a little place called Abu Dhabi last month. So he was actually set to come on last month and was out of pocket exhibiting in Abu Dhabi. So we are back here in March. We'll get the full rundown, how that whole thing happened, who else was there, what the culture is like in Abu Dhabi. Maybe he's been there before. Maybe Abu Dhabi has a storied live fire past and culinary past to boot. All things will be revealed here shortly with Mr. Reichlin. Then we'll move 35 past the hour. It's 50-50 right now. Because he's got a job and because he likes to eat dinner, we may or may not have a visit with third Tuesday of the month regular guest spot, 35 past the hour, Wes Wright, cookoutnews.com. Wes started a new day job and is getting through the rigors of that and has had to spend the last number of days in my favorite city across the land, Indianapolis, Indiana. He had steak or dinner, I guess. I don't know if he technically had steak last night at St. Elmo, which is one of my favorite steak restaurants and experiences ever. He's at the Weber Grill restaurant tonight. So if Wes can make it in, and I haven't gotten a message from him otherwise saying that he's not going to be here in about 40 minutes, but time will tell. So hope to see Wes Wright as we close out the first hour. We'll move to the second hour. Leading off 14 past the second hour. And as much as I will love up on St. Elmo in Indy, I am finally landing the guy that has given me my best restaurant steak experience ever on the face of my life. Owner, operator of Knife in Dallas, now Knife Italian, and also Knife and Spoon in Florida, Michelin award-winning James Beard, award-winning John Tizar comes in, finally. So So there will be a lot of me gushing all over him about the steak experience that I had back in 2021 when I met the guy closing the show tonight, Daniel Vaughn, for a meal before heading up to Denton, Texas to take care of some Peterbilt business back then. But man, it was a steak experience the likes I have not experienced again, and can only imagine at this point we'll need to return to Dallas in order to have it, see if it can live up to that first standard that has now been set. So looking forward to meeting and talking with John Tizar here, 14 past the second hour, and then 35 past the second hour, as I had mentioned, quarterly guest and barbecue editor over at Texas Monthly, Daniel Vaughn. No sound check with Daniel Vaughn, very rare communication. I might have to take it up with him. He's kind of sucky when it comes to tech messages, but not everybody is like me and is ready to go back with an instant message back when I get the text in. So that's how the show is laying out here this evening. Don't forget, you can follow me socially, Instagram, X, TikTok, and Snapchat, all at the handle at BBQ Central Show. Of course, we say good evening to those of you watching tonight through one of our video streaming platforms. You can go to facebook.com/BBQCentralShow, twitter.com/BBQCentralShow, and youtube.com/@BBQCentralShow, where we do have a new YouTube poll question of the week, and we're asking everybody this. A real infrared burner grill is something you wish to add to the backyard, and with early votes in, 67% of you are saying yes, you would like to add that kind of a cooker to the backyard. 33% of you are saying no, that's not for you. Results, final results of the poll from last week where I was asking everybody if they liked curry, and 54% of you said indeed, yes, you do. You love the curry. A little closer than I thought it was going to be. I figured I was going to be in the far minority, but at least for all those of us watching live, we were almost 50-50 there. So let's start here tonight, and this isn't exactly where I thought it was going to start now for like the third or fourth week in a row, but the question most frequently set in over the past 2 weeks was this. Greg, did you really tell Andrew Zimmern that because he didn't have a mic, you weren't going to allow him on the show 2 weeks ago? And the answer is 100% yes. A year or so ago, 2 years ago or so, I would have caved and allowed it. But not anymore. I've committed to holding the audio standard that I have set. And by the way, let me save you the emails that you might be crafting. Yes. Before the Andrew Zimmern segment that was supposed to happen and during soundcheck before I told him it ain't going to happen, Malcolm Reed, who led that show, didn't end up having a mic. So we started the segment. I evaluated the sound as we were going. And while I mentioned during the show that I was letting him off the show early because he had Primo folks there, in honesty, it was because the sound was a bit roomy for me and it wasn't meeting the standard. Which is why I had someone else literally waiting on standby to jump in and fill the rest of the time. That being newly minted Tennessee embedded correspondent Matt Osmond, and we thank him for that. By the way, if you go and listen to Malcolm's audio, and then you listen to Matt's audio at the end of the segment, it's a drastic difference. Matt met the standard. That's what I'm looking for. Here's the bottom line. At this stage of my show career, there's no one out there today in any industry with any type of popularity that can knowingly come on this show without the proper gear. It's an effective non-start. If Taylor Swift or Kim Kardashian or Alton Brown, Guy Fieri or Bobby freaking Flay said that they would do the show, but they didn't have a mic and weren't interested in getting set up properly, they would not be on this show. It won't happen. Michael Simon was available to do the show months before I actually had him on last year, but he didn't have a mic. So I passed on it until we could get him properly set up. And when we had the interview, it was great and he sounded great and he appreciated it. Andrew Zimmern is as big or bigger than some of those folks I just mentioned. He gets no special treatment for that. By the way, he understood. So as a PSA to anyone interested in being a guest on the show, you either meet the sound standard or you don't get on the show. Does that mean I will miss out on some big names? Maybe. But what that signifies to me is this. I, as the host, should be thankful for just getting their time and however I get them and in whatever environment I get them in. And I should be thankful for that. Bullshit. If you're the host of any show, you should care more about your listeners than anything else. And giving your audience a shit-sounding interview with really famous people boils down to this. You have a really famous person giving you a shit-sounding interview. Good for you. You will not find that nonsense here on this show. And trust me, as a listener of many other podcasts and terrestrial, nationally syndicated radio shows, and I know I'm in the minority, but I will continue to put this whole media industry on my back in an effort to raise the sound quality standards. It's ludicrous to proceed the same way that we have been. The standard should be a partnership in sound quality where the host and guests care enough about the audience to give them spectacular listening experiences, and that's the bottom line. It's too easy to do, and the majority of shows don't care or are too lazy to do the right things. Shame on those people. Well, Stephen Reichlin is ready to go, believe it or not. Before we get to him, I'm talking about Schwank Grills. Yes, there you see it as I'm talking. Get ready to check out the grill everybody's talking about. You're seeing a lot on social media, of course. It's the Schwank Grill. Here's what you need to know. The unit heats up to 1,500 degrees. It's using infrared burner technology. You can get the juiciest steak you've ever tasted in as little as 40 minutes. No, 10 minutes? No. How about 3 minutes, depending on thickness? Yes. No more wasting your life cooking the proteins you want. Schwank Grills does it, and it does it with great results. Now, this infrared burner technology that I was talking about, this is the same stuff, like the literal Schwank technology that you're also finding in steakhouses like Morton's, Del Frisco's, Cut 432, and the list goes on. Remember, at 1,500 degrees, you can build that delicious crust on both sides of the steak without overcooking it, and the steak is incredibly juicy and flavorful. There's truly nothing like it on the market right now. Some are calling it the future of grilling. They have multiple different settings as far as closeness to the infrared burner, so if you don't want to force it into immediate crust building, you can leave it on the lower level, you can work up to it, you can leave it on the bottom level to do a little bit less of a heat. It's up to you to raise or lower to get it to that intense heat settings that you wanted it. By the way, it's not just cooking steaks. Burgers, lobster tails, chicken breasts, scrimps, you name it. If you would grill it in a normal grill, you can do it in the Schwank. You can do it in less time, and you can do it under infrared heat. You got to check it out now, and you can save $150 off right now if you go to schwankgrills.com and you use promo code BBQCentral. That's right, promo code BBQCentral at checkout. It'll save you $150 off the Schwank Grill. You can get it in propane. You can get it in liquid. You can get a liquid propane or natural gas option. So schwankgrills.com. And then as you're checking out, promo code BBQCentral saves you $150 off the Schwank Grill. You can save money easily. You can enjoy restaurant quality heat. There's a link in the show notes here on this podcast. You can get a link on the show newsletter if you subscribe, or you can go right to the show homepage and click on the Schwank logo under the sponsors section, and then you can order from there. Just don't forget promo code BBQCentral. We are back with our pal Stephen Reichlin right after this. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. broadcasting live from the Barbecue Central Show studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
Welcome back. This portion of the show being brought to you by cookandpellets.com, your number one source for quality wood pellets for all your pellet-driven cookers. First, go to cookandpellets.com and see what they have to offer for purchase. And then when you're ready to buy, go to Lowe's.com or Walmart.com or Amazon.com. Seems weird, I know, but as Chris Becker has told me himself, owner of Cookin' Pellets, they give much better shipping rates. That's the way you want to do it. Great folks over at cookandpellets.com. My next guest, an icon in the industry, a host of TV shows, an author of award-winning, James Beard award-winning cookbooks, by the way, and really the authority when it comes to live fire, Barbecue Central Show's guest Hall of Famer, if I didn't mention that. It's our pal Stephen Reichlin. Stephen, great to see you. We have a YouTube poll question of the week that we're asking everybody here as we get going, and it's simply this. A real infrared burner grill is something you would like to add to the backyard if you don't already, yes or no?
I already have one.
You already have one. So we're going to take that as a yes.
I already have one. In fact, I used it tonight to sear a steak.
All right. So 57% of the YouTube voting public and Stephen Reichlin are saying yes. This is something they would like to add to the backyard. So we'll see how those numbers fall out through the rest of the show here this evening. So last month, we were supposed to have a visit from one Stephen Reichlin. However, there was an event that gets in the way, certainly an event that most of us would probably like to tag along and be a part of. And then here's this guy, Steve Harvey, who's putting on this festival all the way over on the other side of the earth. So tell me how a Stephen Reichlin and a former Clevelander, Steve Harvey, might happen to cross paths and put an Abu Dhabi trip together.
You know, it was a simple phone call. Steve Harvey apparently decided he wanted to organize the first ever Abu Dhabi Barbecue Festival. And I might add that's the first barbecue festival in the United Arab Emirates. And his people reached out to my people. And a few months later, there I was on an Emirates plane to Abu Dhabi. And it was an extremely well-organized barbecue festival. I was really surprised. They had three people from the United States, three grill master, pit masters from the United States. I was honored to be a part of it. It was quite extraordinary. Abu Dhabi, you know, it's remarkable for so many things. First of all, it's immaculate, no litter anywhere, no graffiti anywhere. Absolutely safe. 95% of the people I met were from somewhere else. Expatriates from the UK, from South Africa, from the Philippines, from Bangladesh, from Afghanistan, you name it. And they all uniformly said, we love living here. So very cool opportunity.
Is there a lot of pitch or a lot of vetting that you and your team have to do on this invitation just to see? I mean, aside from whatever schedule you might be keeping, but is it something that's pretty attractive to you right off the bat?
Yeah, it was. And it came to me through a speaker's agency. So I didn't have to worry about, like, would I be paid for this? Because, you know, often you worry about that when you're going so far away and you don't know the principles. But you know, they graciously provided business class airfare for my wife and myself. And, you know, I'm kind of at this point in my life where any opportunity that comes up, you know, I feel like, why not? You know, we have a limited number of days on this planet, and I want to have as many interesting experiences as possible.
I feel like also this gives you a chance. It's not just for brand reaching, but I mean, you're a guy that likes to teach. You've taught all along these many years and decades on television shows. So this exposes you to a new audience, of course, but it allows you to really flex what you're good at, which is teaching the values and the benefits of live fire cooking, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And I found a very receptive audience. But, you know, I also learned something. I mean, Abu Dhabi. So if you think about it geographically, it kind of lies, it's in the Middle East. It lies halfway, let's say, between Turkey and India. And there's a lot of really interesting grilling that takes place. A lot of Lebanese restaurants, for example. So I ate great food while I was there. I met great people, very receptive people, you know, appreciative people. Thank you for coming all this way. It was an A-plus experience, and I hope I get to do it again.
Outside of the event itself, do they allow you a lot of time to explore Abu Dhabi in depth, or is that more of a limited thing? You're there to cook.
Oh, no, absolutely. Well, I went there for a week. The barbecue festival was 2 days, you know, plus an afternoon of prep the day before. So there was plenty of time off to explore, and I had some really cool experiences. One was an expedition to the desert, where I got to ride a camel and also a sort of more prosaically a four-wheel, one of those four-wheel vehicles, zooming over the dunes, which was pretty cool. And I, you know, like I said, I mean, for me, whenever I travel, kind of, my first experience of a country is through my stomach. And I just had some terrific food, beautiful beaches. It was really quite extraordinary. Plus, I was under deadline to finish the my next book. And, you know, with a 14-hour flight going and a 16-hour flight coming back, I put that to really good use.
I feel like given your extensive travel history, you're the guy that travels the world's barbecue trail, that you and Abu Dhabi might have crossed paths in the past, true or false?
Nope, never been to Abu Dhabi before. Nope.
Do you find with the large amount of expats, as you said, that seem to be making up the population here, that it would yield itself to being a highly diverse food culture, food scene across, you know, all different countries? You're not just going, you know, if you're going to Turkey or if you're going to, I don't know, some other country that might have their own style of cooking and meats that they use. When you have an influx of people that just aren't natives and they're bringing what they have, this could be a crazy food scene in only the best ways possible.
Absolutely. And it was a crazy food scene. As I mentioned, Lebanese food, Turkish food. I mean, of course, all the American fast food and fast casual food restaurants are there. Our expedition to the desert featured some Abu Dhabi specialties. I went to an Abu Dhabi breakfast place, which is actually really cool and really tasty. Big flavors in that part of the world. You know, and if you think about it, like Abu Dhabi, you know, it's Indian influences, Southeast Asian influences from the East, Mediterranean influences from the West, African influences from the South. It's a very interesting food place.
Is it hot out there?
When we were there, the weather was perfect, like Florida in the winter. However, in the summer, it routinely reaches 120 degrees. Interesting, nobody grills in the summer. Actually, nobody even goes to the beach in the summer because apparently the water is too warm. But I was there in the winter.
So not too far away is Dubai. Is Dubai the place where they have the air-conditioned sand pipes, like the pipes of air conditioning that run underneath the sand at the beach?
I wouldn't be surprised. Dubai is the place where they have the mall that has the ski slope and ski lift in it. Dubai is actually very crowded, very congested. We tried to go out for dinner the last night in Dubai and wound up kind of spending a lot of time in traffic. Of course, Dubai is the glamour spot of the Middle East. Abu Dhabi is kind of like where Dubai was, I imagine, about 40 years ago. So visit it now.
Would you move there permanently?
No.
No.
I'm very happy in South Florida and Martha's Vineyard. However, I would visit again quite happily and, use it as a stepping point to explore other parts of that part of the world.
You mentioned you use the 20 hours of to and fro time to work on the book. Anything you can scoop us on?
Yeah, so the book is called Project Plancha, and it's a book about outdoor griddles, and for that matter, grill top griddles. I think I mentioned that. I guess, you know, I should say Reichlin has not gone over to the dark side, but I've been using griddling like everybody else. You know, it's the hottest craze in outdoor cooking. And it's a book about how sort of how a lifelong grill guy got discovered the griddle. At first was skeptical and really found that it can produce some amazing food.
What's your favorite thing to cook on a plancha?
Boy, I love to do fish on a plancha, especially fragile fish. Like we get beautiful snapper down here in South Florida, beautiful pompano. And these are fishes that are kind of fragile, so they'd be quite difficult to cook on a conventional grill, but they're great on a plancha.
Last weekend, Stephen Reichlin, the guy we're talking to right now from barbecuebible.com, inducted into yet another Hall of Fame. This time it was for something called the Taste Awards. Now, admittedly, not overly familiar with whatever the Taste Awards are, so whatever info you can fill in, and obviously, of course, congratulations are in order, another Hall of Fame. So tell us all about it.
Well, admittedly, I had never heard of the Taste Awards either, but in the Hall of Fame, some of my fellow inductees included Oprah and Gwyneth Paltrow. So
wow.
That was pretty exciting. They did not show up at the ceremony, however. But I did bring Mrs. Reichlin, and we were decked out in our finest. I rarely in my life as a grilling guy have an opportunity to put on a tuxedo, but put on my tuxedo. There was a little red carpet procession. A beautiful ceremony. Then afterwards, we went to one of my favorite restaurants in Los Angeles, which is called Chi Spacca, and it's an Italian grill restaurant. You may remember from the third season of Project Fire, my PBS TV show, we actually focused on Los Angeles. We went to Chi Spacca. It's the place where they do bistecca a la Fiorentina that are 4 inches thick, where when you order a pork chop there, it actually comes from the backbone of the hog to the belly. I mean, it's the biggest pork chop you'll ever see in your life. And we went there afterwards in tuxedo and celebrated, had great wine, great food, and fabulous weekend.
So I was looking through the list of the other inductees aside from Gwyneth, and I think Alicia Silverstone was also inducted too. She's, you know, famous actress from back in the day. Oprah, of course, nobody more famous than her except for you. How many people are showing up that are on? I mean, it was I think I put out a pretty substantial induction list for my guest Hall of Fame every year with a total of 5. I mean, there were plenty of people on this Hall of Fame list. So how many people show up and actually, do you get to make a speech, or do they just call you across like you're graduating college, or how does the whole thing work?
Well, I did make a speech, and in fact, if you follow me on Instagram, Stephen Reichlin on Instagram, you can see the speech. I tried to keep it under 2 minutes, but it turned out that March 11th, the day of the induction, was also my birthday. Somehow that word had gotten out, and everybody in the audience, you know, several hundred people sang me happy birthday, so wow. It was definitely a high point of the trip. But, you know, what was really interesting about the Taste Awards, it's about food media. And there are so many new media people, social media influencers, people doing TV shows on TikTok, on YouTube, and a lot of people from abroad. And it was really a new generation. I felt like sort of a senior statesman, and all these incredibly talented young people doing amazing food programming in new media. I mean, media that didn't exist when I started writing about barbecue. So I think that was maybe the most interesting, gratifying part of the evening, was just feeling like the torch is being passed. And you know what? There's as much passion about great food, great grilling and barbecue, although it's in media that, you know, is new to me, as there was when I was writing. So, you know, the world moves on.
When you're watching social media happen, and you've come to know quite well some of the most popular food influencers out there, especially in the live fire.
Sure, we did a whole show called Influential Grilling.
Yep.
When Project Fire.
When you look at all these accounts, like how many are you buying into as being folks that are as passionate as you are, or at least somewhat as passionate as you are, or what percentage of folks do you think, hey, I think this looks cool and I might be able to make a buck and I'm going to throw it up on Instagram and see if it sticks?
Oh, no. I think that the people I follow, I mean, people like Derek Wolf and people like David Olson, Tuffy Stone, they are every bit as creative, every bit as passionate, every bit as smart about their content. Max the Meat Man, you know, as I was in books, you know, life moves on. I mean, I kind of made my world in books and television, and these guys are making their world in social media, and it's every bit as legitimate. They're every bit as serious. I learn from them. You know, and I kind of look ahead and I wonder, like, where's it going to be in 10 years or 20 years?
We are on the heels of what some folks would call grilling season. So as we get into 2024's version, people coming up to you and saying, hey, I'm in the market for a new grill. I held off during COVID because everything was sold out because everybody else bought everything, but this is the year I'm going to buy. What are your advice to somebody that's looking to get a new grill?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, you kind of need to figure out your grilling personality, right? Like, are you a charcoal person, which is a more process-oriented person? You enjoy building a fire, waltzing the foods from hot spots to cold spots. You know, it's about the process. Or are you a more results-oriented person, right? Do you just want to get the food cooked and on the table, and it's really more about the end product than the process? And say, in that case, you're probably more a candidate for a gas grill or pellet grill, you know, where convenience is at a premium. Do you like smoke foods? You know, are you more into low and slow? Do you want to make awesome Texas-style briskets and ribs? Are you more like a quick cook guy or gal into the grilling process? You know, do you like Komodos? Do you like big green eggs? I mean, there's no, you know, happily in grilling, there's, and I say happily, there's no one size that fits all. There are as many different grills as there are personalities of grillers. And you need to determine what your personality is first and then buy the grill accordingly. But I'm also a big advocate of multiple grill ownership. You know, you might want a gas grill for the convenience of a weeknight. You might want a charcoal grill or smoker or Kamado for the weekend when you have a little more time. I mean, if you were to visit my backyard, you'd see a lot of different kinds of grills and smokers.
What do you have coming up over the next couple months we should be on the lookout for?
Well, let's see. Barbecue University will be taking place right after Labor Day at the Alisal Ranch in Solvang, California. Pretty excited about that. My Windstar project, you know, I have a series of Star Grill by Stephen Reichlin restaurants on Windstar cruise ships. And the cruise ships are nice because they're small. It's about 300 passengers, you know, which makes them like a tiny fraction of the size of the big cruise ships. But we have a new menu launching this spring. It's a Mediterranean menu. What we're trying to do, the first iteration of the restaurant, we're doing kind of American and world barbecue classics. Now we're really trying to tailor the menus for where the ship cruises. So when you're cruising the Mediterranean, it will be a Mediterranean grilling and barbecue menu. What else do I have coming up? That's kind of the big stuff. Oh, I completely forgot. So if you're old enough, you may remember my beer can chicken book that came out 20 years ago. We have decided to reissue that. It's completely redone, updated. My publisher felt like it was time for a new generation to discover beer can chicken. So that will be out end of April, beginning of May, and I'll be touring for that. And aside from that, you know, every once in a while I get to sleep.
Busy man as always. BarbecueBible.com is website, so make sure you're checking that out and be on the lookout for the re-release of Beer Can Chicken. Steven, always appreciate the time here, and we will talk to you again soon.
You do such a great job. It's always a pleasure. Grill on.
There he is, Steven Reichlin, right there. Of course, talking about a number of topics. We talked in depth about the visit to Abu Dhabi. A shocker, never been there, but sounds great. And the passport is once again valid. So who knows? Maybe my next trip is going to be headed over to Abu Dhabi. Well, actually, my next trip out of the country. In June, when we go to the Bahamas, we're going to dip our toe into international waters of the Bahamas. And then we'll see where we go from there. Remember, I said it before, I'm not kidding. There is a very remote chance you could see me in China at some point, believe it or not. I know. Shocker. I do not see Wes Wright in my switch box, which is not great. He might be caught in traffic or just having the best meal ever at the Weber restaurant. I feel like I'm tipped up just a little too much. It looks a little better. So as we wait to see if I'm going to have to figure out how to fill the next segment, or if it will fill itself, I'll talk to you quickly about Pits and Spits. Believe it or not, just today, Reinsborough and the gang wrapped up their run at the Houston Livestock and Rodeo Show. Remember? That was all the way back in the beginning of, like, end of February, beginning of March. They've been out there exhibiting every day. Pits and Spits stuff, and it's finally ended up. That was a record run. Till Ryan said, hey, I didn't really make it known, but next year, why don't I come down, stay for a couple days, help you push Pits and Spits pits around? Why not? I think that would be fun. NRG Stadium, very familiar with the area, no problem. They want to know this, though. Are you tired of settling for mediocre grilling experiences? Then you know what? It's time to step your game up.
Step your game up.
That didn't come through the speaker. Darn it. Bring the ultimate flavor and cooker to the backyard barbecues. Pits and Spits Charcoal Grill is offering the highest quality live fire cooking experience you can get in the market today. Using either wood or charcoal, their solid fuel grills produce those classic flavors you're looking for when you have the time to fire up the grill and you cook for family and friends. With a large adjustable fuel tray, you can raise and lower the fire to control and fine-tune the heat. Their take on the very popular Santa Maria style grill. So if you're not into the classic Santa Maria style, you want something more charcoal driven, but you have the ability to raise and lower the heat, Pits and Spits is the way to go. Visit the website, pitsandspits.com/BBQCentral. That's pitsandspits.com/BBQCentral. And as you're checking out, use code CHARCOALCENTRAL, all one word, CHARCOALCENTRAL, for $150 off any charcoal grill. That's great folks over at pitsandspits.com. And we're going to see what's going to happen next segment. My fingers are crossed and my hopes are quickly being dashed, but we'll see what happens. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Howard Stern, Jim Rome, Dan Patrick, and Greg Rampey. The Mountain Rushmore of talk show entertainment. Now, let's get back to the Barbecue Central Show.
We thank Stephen Reichlin for joining us last segment. Stephen Reichlin is found at barbecuebible.com. And we have a text message coming in from our pal, creator of cookoutnews.com.
A Barbecue Central Show exclusive news update.
Greg Rempe reporting from the breaking news desk here in Cleveland, Ohio, the city that breaks the most live fire breaking news across the country. Nay, the globe. And I'm here to report that Wes Wright is saying, I'm not going to make it. I'm stuck. Sorry, man. No! So it appears that the topics we were just about to cover for the next 15 minutes are now going to be moved until April's segment. As I'd mentioned in the front of the show, it was 50-50 at best. It was even 50-50 earlier in the day when we were corresponding and he said, hey, I got this work thing, not sure exactly how it's going to pan out. And I said, hey, let's just play it by ear. I've often told people when I thought I wasn't going to be able to make it, I've canceled really early. And then lo and behold, I've had plenty of time to spare. And now I'm out a good time. So let's not race to any quick conclusions or decisions. And let's figure it out. And then I hadn't heard from him until about 2 seconds ago. So I was feeling pretty confident about it. But in the end, he's stuck. Now, I don't know if that means he's stuck walking back to a hotel room or he's stuck at the Weber Grill restaurant sucking back fine libations on the company dime and eating tasty steaks and whatnot. Very possible. But no Wes Wright tonight. We were going to ask him the YouTube poll question of the week that we're asking everybody. By the way, if you're watching on Facebook or you're watching on the Twitter and you want to take part in the Facebook or the YouTube poll, you have to go over to the YouTube channel where you can then vote. That's the only place that you can vote. That's why it's called the YouTube poll question of the week. So go to youtube.com/BBQCentralShow. No, youtube.com/@BBQCentralShow. You'll see the show running live. And I believe the poll's up off to the top right-hand side. I don't know. I don't see it as it's happening live. I just hope that it's happening. Let me rephrase that. I can see the poll results coming in and the chat. What I can't see is like what it looks like. I'm not watching a video of the video, if you know what I mean. Anyway, long way to go to sit here and say we were going to ask Wes Wright if a real infrared burner grill is something he would like to add to the backyard. And wouldn't you believe it? Or wouldn't you know? We are stuck back, as we have in many weeks past, a dead heat. 50% of you are saying yes, you would like to have a real infrared burner grill in the backyard. And 50% of you are saying, no, you would not like to have a real infrared burner grill in your backyard. So we'll see how the rest of the poll goes. I'm going to vote for Wes. Wes is a guy that gets products all the time. I don't know if he's been reached out to by any of the real infrared companies. Of course, we know the real infrared company is Schwank Grills. There's others out there as well. I think because of Wes's proclivity for getting in and running and playing with a lot of grills, he's going to say yes. He thinks he would like to have one in the backyard. And that pushes us over the 50-50 split that we are currently experiencing here on the show. One of the topics that we're going to be talking about is this. Grilling season is coming up, as I had mentioned with Steven Reichlin last segment. And we were going to be talking about a few brands that we feel are great, but perhaps they aren't on the radar of folks. So when they're actually going to talk about brands that they're considering, hey, we're in the market for a new grill this season. What should I get? Well, what do you think of? Pellet cookers, Traeger, gas grills, charcoal grills, Weber, more economy style brands, Charbroil, the ones that you see in a lot of the big box stores. But we have 5-6 different brands that we listed out that perhaps the everyday ham and egger that might be in the market for a new cooker might not know about. So we were going to be talking about that. We were going to be talking about a little bit of Traeger news that was up, which is their outlook for the rest of the year. Sales looking to either stay flat where they're at or dip down a little bit as they continue to work through inventory, blaming a lot of it on interest rates currently, and that the big ticket items that were impervious to inflation and other spend thoughts are now being impacted at this point. Those being the $1,000 or more, the luxury items, as they're called. They're also looking to add retail salespeople to train their dealers on how to best sell. And then there was the story about Pat LaFrieda, of course, America's Butcher, teaming up or partnering with the Good Charcoal Company. I've tried to have the Good Charcoal Company on here twice. I was shined on twice. I'm not bitter about it. I would question if they tried to come on again, if they were actually going to be showing up. So I would have an additional segment planned just in case. But I would certainly be open to talking about that. So let me see if I can actually do this. Because everybody was wondering weeks and weeks ago about the where the mic went. I had this all set up. How do I want to find this? Let's go to link. Let's see if I can find the link for me. Well, there's no guest here tonight. So here's a link. That's the first link. That's going to be the... Okay, let me see if I can connect in here. I'm going to go in through the phone. Now, I will tell you that the audio is going to sound much different because I'm going to use the microphone on this phone so you can actually hear. Otherwise, the microphone isn't going to be... isn't going to pick up. So let me join the call here and see if that I... Oh, right. I got to enter a name, even though I know it's me. Let's join the call. All right. Okay. Now, hello? Why am I still hearing this? Let me put the phone underneath the table. I'm hooked up at the moment. So I'm going to mute this microphone that you can't see that sounds great, and I'm going to be going over to the audio on the phone. So again, I apologize in advance. I hope I don't blow you out, but now we're going to reveal where the new mic is, if you can believe it. So stand by.
Right now you should be able to hear me. Well, that sounds like total crap. Well, that's all right. So I don't normally do this, which is pull the curtain back, give you a full production look. I have the stationary camera kind of back left that I'll give you a look every once in a while, but now this is something that's going to be a bit more advanced. So let me give you the whole look here. Let me pull up. Now, here we go. This is the whole scene here. This is where, of course, we would have a guest if they were in. Of course, no guest. Green screen there. Now, people ask me, do you have a green screen behind you? This is not a green screen. You can see it is professionally secured to the wall with this blue tape. I believe they call that painter's tape. And then here's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city. Right here, and then you can see where it ends. Let's, you know, this is poster or whatever the hell they call it. Matt Sexton made it for me, a great photographer here in Cleveland. We got the stationary camera, which is this shot here, right? Then we have a desk where I put my reeds. And we have the audio mixer. So digital mixer. Remember, cat pissed on the last digital mixer, so underneath that box right there is where the new mixer lives, but this interface is how we can actually control it. So you can see, like right here, that's my channel, but I have it muted, so you can't hear me. So you can see the level rising, but it's not actually making through to air. So this is the digital mixer board. Now, this is called the Stream Deck, and I have two Stream Decks. This Stream Deck is where all the sound effects happen. Drum roll, we have the cheer, We have the hammer.
Get that big stuff out of here.
We have right? So all the sound effects that you've come to know and love. And then if I hit the menu button here, now we are into a bunch of nonsense stuff. Oh. And then I can switch with the menu button above that. Now we're in American Idol, which we don't do anymore. I hit the menu button again right here. Now we're into like the game show. So the music show that I play with Jess Pryles, or when we do some other stuff, that's all where all the production stuff is here. And now we're back to the normal sound effects. Then, right here we have all the show shots. So we have the commercial shot here, and then we have the one as the show starts. Of course, we have my main shot here, all that fun stuff. So all that is taking place on that stream deck. So I don't have another person that's over here. It's just me. I'm doing all the engineering. And then as I pull out here, give you a look, we have a 3-monitor setup. And then just off in the distance there, we have something called the confidence monitor. And the confidence monitor allows me to see what shot we're in, with hopefully not giving it away too much. This is the left monitor. This is all the, I'm sorry, that's not a straight shot there. This is where all the radio automation happens. So segment times used to be where I used to play a lot of the show sound effects used to get played through here, but this keeps me on time. And then here we have show outlines, questions. This is where I can see your guys' chat. Yeah. And then on the right, we have show email. We have the show being recorded for podcast audio. And then here we have the YouTube poll question of the week results that I can see. So we're still sitting at 50-50. Now, all to build up for this. Where's the mic? We don't see the mic. Well, good news. There it is. There's the mic. And if you are familiar or you're a huge fan of the show, this is the mic that John Solberg used to use before he got his new Neumann that he's been using for the last week or 6 weeks or whatever. So this one is lowered out of the shot, but is a shotgun mic, so it's able to pick up my voice even though it's not in the scene. Stand by as we finish here. So this is where the mic is. This is the mic. This is why you can't see it when I'm in this shot, but you can, and it's just out, like it's just out of sight. So when you, no need to worry, no need to wonder anymore. This is the mic right here, and then we got a few other things here. The things with the lights there, those are the preamps for the microphones. And I think, you know, that's pretty much it. The gray thing right there, that's the new Tower of Power 3. And again, the real mixer is underneath that board right there. So if you've, I'm going to figure out how I'm going to do this.
So if you have wondered, I got to disconnect myself now too, what the actual setup looks like. Well, guess what? There you go. Looks just like that. There's no mystery anymore. There's no behind the scenes. There's no professional studio. This is the way it is. So if you missed it, sorry. And even though the microphone isn't in the shot anymore, I think that you'll agree if you spent the last 8 minutes with me on phone audio, and then we go back to a $1,100 microphone, this is why you get the sound that you get. And we've I've invested time and time again, sponsor money back in to get bigger computers, better mixers, better pieces like the Stream Decks and the iPad for the digital mixer controls and all the different monitors and the lights. And it's a constant reinvest to make sure that I'm trying to provide you with the best. Now, I have to say this. If you're listening on audio podcast, that was horrible for you. You got to hear bad audio that I just ranted about in the beginning of the show. But I was my own caller, and of course I'm a hypocrite and I break the rules for me. Yes. But you can go back to the video archives on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter and fast forward in about 35, 36 minutes to the show, and then you can also get the behind-the-scenes look. I'm debating now quickly in my head if I'm going to just cut that out for the podcast listeners because I know the sound was pretty hot. I'm looking at the waveform there and the recording software, and it's much bigger than anything else that this mic is putting out. So that'll be game time decision as the show ends. But for everybody that's wanted to look behind the scenes, intimately detailed, that's what it is. Sean Ludwig is asking, Greg, how much do you estimate this impressive setup cost you? I mean, I don't know anymore. The computer, when I replaced it this time around, like 2 months ago, whenever it was, that was $3,500. The microphone's $1,300, but I didn't pay for that. John has it on lend to me, but it's like an $1,100 or $1,200 microphone, I think, at retail. The preamps are probably a good $200-$300 a piece. They're very professional. The Stream Decks, if you go to Elgato.com, you can get Stream Decks. These are the Stream Deck XL, so I could get more buttons on them. I don't know if they were a couple $100 a piece, but maybe close to that. Monitors are pretty cheap these days, so I think these were all $125 or less. The other microphone was like a $300 microphone, the Electrovoice RE20, which is a broadcast standard microphone. The microphone I'm using now is not one that you would normally see in a radio station, but the one on this shot here, which you can see, is one that you would see in a normal broadcast radio station. So, I mean, it's Sean, I don't have a total because I've upgraded pieces at a time. I would never suggest that anybody decides to start something like this and then goes into debt over this. You don't need to get all this stuff to do a great sounding podcast or live stream. And if anybody ever has any questions about where to start, how to get started, or money to invest and money to not invest in, then certainly I'm happy to have those conversations with you so you don't have to go through the same learning curves that I have. So hopefully you enjoyed that. And
continuing to produce incredibly mediocre content in an exceptionally professional way. You're listening and watching the Barbecue Central Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rampe.
And we welcome you back. This portion of the show being brought to you by Fireboard. Fireboard 2, Fireboard 2 Drive. You can monitor up to 6 different temperatures simultaneously. Connect through Wi-Fi. You can connect through Bluetooth if you want to, but I connect through Wi-Fi, of course. You can monitor through the apps. It's all great. So visit fireboard.com to get all your questions answered and check it out from there. I thank me for joining you last segment. Some of those topics that I had lined up with Wes, we can get to next month because they'll be evergreen at least until then. And if you had any questions about my setup and what it might look like past this shot, because this shot looks great, but when we pull out away from it and show you the basement walls and the painter's tape, a little less sexy, I know. But I'm here to share. All right, we're pointing to the second hour, refresh libations, and we'll be back. Stick around.